Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
I heard that. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you and welcome to tonight's show. I'm here with Rebecca Steiger, my wonderful friend in southeastern Missouri, who channels angels. And just to give you some background on me, you can find out more about me and what I do by going to my website at www.hairfield.com and click on counseling, and you can see everything that I am capable of doing when it comes to interacting and working with people. If you get questions, you can always email me at stephen@hairfield.com. And I'm also on Facebook, and I'm on Twitter constantly talking and communicating with people because I love them deeply. Rebecca, how can people find you down there in Missouri? Good old Mizzou.
In the middle of nowhere.
Sort of.
You can contact me by going to my website, which is www.rebeccaspathways.com. And click on Angelic Readings and go in, and it will show you what I do. Also, I'm on Facebook, and Stephen and I are friends on Facebook, as we are in life. And also, I'm on Twitter and Instagram.
Ooh, you know what? I'm not even on Instagram. I don't even know if I even want to do that. But that being said, we're going to take our first caller because this one's been on hold for over 15 minutes now.
Sure.
That being said, caller from 408, where are you calling from, and please, what is your first name?
Well, my name is Mike, and I'm calling from California.
Well, Mike from California, how you doing this evening, good sir?
Extremely well. I wanted to just give you an update. I'm the one that I had to take the job with the free golf.
With the free golf?
Yeah, I called you about it maybe about 3 weeks ago, and we spoke in regards to two positions, and one of them offered free golf. So I kind of took that one.
Awesome. I don't blame you. I would have, too. Free golf is always fun anytime. I don't care what you're doing.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. So my question, if I may, I did my first psychic fair here in California, and it was kind of my coming out per se, and I'm open to it as a, I don't know if it's even in the realm of a career, but I also have a business background and been thinking about real estate and different things like that, and I just kind of want to get some insight.
You seem to be at the moment all over the roadmap, and I would say for the moment go with free golf. You are destined to work with people one way or the other. It doesn't matter whether it's in the business world or in the private community. And, Mike, I would tend to say just keep doing what you're doing right in the very moment, and it's going to lead you to ultimately what you're going to do. And I think it's going to be a combination and or a blend of using your intuitive sense and your business sense at the same time. Rebecca? What do you think?
Well, I got using your intuitive sense in business. But, you know, actually, whenever you say I've entered this psychic fair, you're already moving into a stronger direction there. And
right.
It's – I'm sorry, did you start to say something?
Oh, I agreed.
And that is going – for a while be a combination of the two, but eventually I see you being very successful in what is it that you do psychically? Are you a reader?
Yeah, reader. There's some mediumship which I've got to work on.
Yeah.
Kind of comes in and goes. Wait, it
okay.
Comes as it pleases. I don't I can't really. Why,
it'll get stronger.
Kind of,
yes. That's what I got. I got that you were a reader, and that's why I asked you exactly what you did. And all of this is going to lead you into that more spiritual direction. And actually, you're going to find great gratification from this. But the only thing that you have to watch with this And I will tell you now is you have to watch your ego.
Yep.
Gotcha.
Because the thing I was going to say and when Rebecca said ego is I wanted to share with you, Mike, don't attempt to force mediumship because you really can't do that. Attempting to force it's going to stop it. You have to learn to allow it, and it's hard for you to learn to allow. Does that make sense?
100%.
Okay. When you are open to it, it comes, and it just seems like it's more whimsical to you when you're doing it. And every time you attempt to force it, you run into a dead-end street. So allow it to be whimsical. For myself, when I'm talking with a person, such as I'm doing with you right at this very moment, it's just whatever's there is there. And more times than not, it's not going to make any sense to me. And because it doesn't make any sense to me, I know it applies to you. I just kind of go with that. What you're doing is you're looking for identification. Just kind of let what sits is what sits, if that makes sense.
Oh, perfect sense.
Okay.
And we all have different gifts. So, and everyone does everything different. And I'm a medium, I cross over. But you just have to go with it. You can't hesitate. You can't try to make sense of it, as Stephen said. You just go, because that message is not for you. That message is for the person you're talking to, such as while we're talking to you right now. This is your message. I won't remember it after we leave this show.
Right.
What did you just say, Rebecca? I already forgot.
That is true, though. We do. You know, you can't carry all that with you.
No, no. It's just in and out. If you try attempt to carry it all with you, it's going to drive you crazy.
Oh, Lord, would it.
So,
perfect sense.
Because
after the psychic fair on Sunday, I was just like, I don't even remember what I said. I'm tired, but I don't remember what I said.
Right. You're going to be tired because you're putting out energy. And as you put out energy, you're putting out energy to people. As you put out energy to people, it's only, you know, the number of people that come to you, that talk to you, they're gone, and just so is what you told them. It's gone. It doesn't matter anymore. If I do 5 appointments in a day, when I get done with the first one, I'm now talking to the second person. If I allow the collision between the first one and the second one, I'm going to have an issue with my own brain, and I'm not going to do that. So I've just simply gotten used to the idea of here it is, there it goes, see you, bye.
Yeah, and cut the cords and go on.
Yes. Makes sense.
And you know, I was kind of playing with like a little psychometry to kind of do that, like something that they had on them, so I could almost kind of just tap in directly with them as opposed to anything that was lingering on, you know, type of thing. So
psychometry is kind of fun. It's different. It's different. It's a different energy stream. Somebody can hand me a ring of a deceased person, and I can tell you all about that deceased person while I'm holding the ring because I'm sensing and experiencing the energetics. Energetics is what you're reading, which means it's not black and white. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Okay. All right. And I'm going to say to you, keep going in the direction you're going because it's going to expand and you're going to end up writing a book about it anyway. So,
yeah. You will, certainly.
Yeah.
You certainly will. Actually, you've already started it in your mind, haven't you?
Yeah. I was thinking of doing something in regards to real estate and kind of intuitiveness in regards to sales and why, you know, that we all know that 80% make or 20% make 80% of the money. So what about those other 80% and kind of their fears and stuff like that? And now it's kind of shifted a little bit more so of kind of like my story in the sense of being a regular dude who just all of a sudden, you know, I like football, I like craft beer, and I like hot wings. And all of a sudden at the age of 40, this happened.
That's just an extraordinary gift. I mean, there's two very common people that you're talking to here, Stephen and myself, and I'm a lot more ordinary than Stephen is.
I don't know about that.
But we are ordinary people with extraordinary gifts.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Or talents. I don't see them as gifts. I see them as talents, Mike. You have a talent.
Okay.
And the talent is being able to perceive things that the average human cannot necessarily see. Okay, that's fine. For myself, if I want to understand something intuitively, I'm going to call the girl that's here on this show with me, Rebecca. She's my go-to person because I don't read for me.
No, I don't read for me. Stephen does.
Rebecca does. And when Rebecca needs something to be read for, generally speaking, she'll call me.
Mm-hmm.
So my point is don't use it necessarily for yourself. Use it for other people. And when you need someone to go to, you have Rebecca and Stephen.
Yes.
Because they're outside you. No, you're too
yes.
close to you. That's the point.
That's right.
When you're too close to you, you can't see it. I don't even read for my lovely bride, Karen. I don't. Because she's too close to me. I can,
mm-hmm.
but it makes it harder because of the closeness. So the closer the person, when you read for a stranger, you're distant. It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
You have no attachment. You have no anything to them. It's just what you're getting is data. So share the data. Make sense?
Yeah. No, it's actually, and it's even easier not to see, like to be over the phone with them, because then you're not seeing facial expressions and things like that, and then there's,
yep.
uh-oh,
yep.
you know.
Yep.
Like,
yep. No, I absolutely totally understand because I do face to face and I do telephone, there are times when I would rather do the telephone or Skype. I mean, I work with people literally all over the world. I have an appointment with my first appointment today was in Singapore. Second one was in Copenhagen, Denmark. And those were simpler for me than third person that was face-to-face. So to me, the telephone's a walk in the park, and
yes.
that enhances your ability, so keep doing that.
Oh, it's
okay.
by far a walk in the park.
Do what,
I said
Rebecca?
Telephone is by far a walk in the park versus someone sitting in front of you.
Absolutely. I agree
mm-hmm.
with you. Michael, thanks for the call, sir. Go ahead.
Thank you.
Yes. No, thank you both for such tremendous insight. I appreciate it very much.
Thank you, sir.
Caller from 617. Can you hear me yet? We're having difficulty with caller from 617. Are you there? Okay, caller from 573, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, that's you, okay.
That's me, Steve.
Yeah, I know.
Hello?
Hello, yes, caller from 520, where are you calling from?
Oh,
what's your first name?
Arizona.
Arizona?
Arizona.
Where the heck is that?
I like her, she talks like me.
Yeah, and what's your first name?
Lisa.
It's not Arizona?
No, I can't help myself. I'm sorry.
No, don't even apologize. So how can we best?
I take it back. I'm not sorry. I'm enjoying it. Thank you.
Wonderful. So how can we best confuse you?
Well, I'm in a Monday class. And it's every Monday till the end of the November. And this week I have this challenge from the class that when I next meet on Monday, there is a goal, and I'm working like a dog to try and get this accomplished. And I wonder if you see me accomplishing that goal, making the deadline.
You are so divided right now. It's not even funny. You want to do it, but yet at the same time, I feel you're bored.
Oh. Well, I think you're picking something up.
Well, I'm picking something up. It could be dog poop. I don't know.
No, I think you're. I like the overall idea. You know. Of yeah, but there is a part there that resonates with that what you said. Yeah.
It's like you think, and Rebecca, check me out here. It's kind of like you think this is going in a different direction than what you thought it would, and you aren't as focused as you could be because ordinarily you are a very focused person. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. So
yeah,
that means simply that there are distractions going on.
There you go.
Yeah.
And you're caught up more in the distractions than the direction of the course. Go for it, Rebecca.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, I got immediately distractions.
Okay.
You know, but I have to tell you this. You have this sunny, bright soul. I just love it.
Oh,
and but
you
do get distracted rather easily, especially if you feel like it's not. And I don't know exactly what's coming here, but if you don't feel like this assignment fulfills you to a degree, you're like, oh, well. But I also get that before your next class, and you're going to have gold ribbons. So you will complete this.
Oh, thank God. Because you're right. There are tons of distractions, and I told everybody around me, I said, tomorrow is dedicated to this goal I have to work on in a couple of other days before Monday. So leave me alone, please. You know, it,
and, of course, they didn't.
No, they don't. Nope.
I see you working late at night.
Yeah, I'm going to have to.
Yeah, but I do see you completing it. I see you getting gold ribbons because the angels came through and said, and that matches her sunny personality. And I said, yes, it does. So, you know, I know you're going to complete it, and I know you're going to do well on it. Because once you decide to complete it, you always do well.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Getting you there
can kind of
be like pulling teeth.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what, Lisa, you are somewhat of a little bit of a procrastinator. You'll put things off, then all of a sudden it's like right there in your face, and you go, oh crap.
Yes.
And then that's when you go for it. Your thing in procrastination is more a thing of initially, I'm going to fail, I'm not going to make it, and then you get all that ego stuff coming in, and you put it off, but then all of a sudden it's like, oh, damn, I got to get this done, and you go, boom, and you take off. Yeah?
Yeah.
Because it's really easy for her once she decides.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. You know, I had to pass a huge exam just to be able to get in on what I'm doing right now. And what you're talking about is what I'm living, and I just don't like that part of me, you know, that procrastinate. I know we're in control.
No, wait. Don't dislike it. No. Just understand that it is an aspect of you that's there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then learn to work with it. If you dislike it, it gives it power. And because it gives it power, it stays consistent and constant. And that's where you get undone.
Yeah.
So just if you just know that you have the tendency to do that, just go, okay, I have the tendency to do that. But you know what? I'm going to go ahead and do that, and then I know at the last minute I'm going to get my shit together, and then I'm just going to go.
Yeah.
Does that make sense, Rebecca?
Well, yes, it does make sense, but can I add one thing?
You can add a million things if you want.
Okay. Well, I don't want to add a million. I just want to add this one thing.
Oh, come on. How about a million and two, then?
Okay, a million and four.
Okay. No, a million and two, not four.
See, there's another distraction.
Yeah.
Oh, right there. See, if you let people get you distracted. But, however, what I started to say is all things in balance.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's great to have fun. It's great to be with your friends. Because whenever you say, they won't let me, of course.
Well,
it's not
that they
won't let you. It's just that you're like, okay, I can go have some fun. Now, I'm a lot this way, and that's why I can relate to this, not only through my channeling, but Archangel Michael's going, you know, you're really a lot the same way. And I am, because I love to have fun. So if I can go outside and play in nature, I'm going to do that. But, you know, all things in balance. So balance your time, balance yourself to say, you know, I'm going to go have coffee with you, but then I'm going to spend 30 minutes on this.
Or
then I
whatever.
Can go do something else. Or you know, you allot the time.
Hey, guys, I just got something. Lisa, one of the difficulties with you and friends is the need of approval. And if you have to study and do something and a friend calls and says, hey, come and do this, you're going to go do that because you want to be a participant because of the fear of the idea that they may forget you. Are you aware of that?
Well, I don't know so much. Believe me, the distractions are not coming from friendships. They're coming from one particular person. Yeah,
right.
It's a close person, and their demands are, I mean, right now we're in the middle of shopping, you know, and it's eaten up my whole day, and it's, you know, I laid down the law. I just said tomorrow is completely devoted to what I need to take care of. In fact, I'm letting go of everything. I'm letting go of all leisure, recreational. I'm just trying to really get wound up to, you know, get this done, meet this deadline.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
I said, what is the course, if you don't mind if I ask?
It's just studying strategies and statistics, and it's just putting together some plans, and it's business. It's a business planning area, and it's...
Well, you're bored with it.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Well, what I like about it is the challenge, of meeting the challenge. That's what I like about it,
There's your answer right there. You like the challenge, so you wait until you're challenged, and then when you feel the challenge, that's when you go.
And she meets it. Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. Learn to understand that, and then learn to operate within it, which goes back to what Rebecca was saying about balance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Know that you like the challenge, so... let the challenge be what it is and then just kind of go with it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else?
Yeah. Well, I mean, are you picking up, you said ribbons and everything for Monday. The whole picture holds. It's supposed to, the return for me is supposed to be money in my pocket as
it
a result
will be.
Of my heart. Oh, good.
Yeah, it will be. Yes.
Yeah.
I see a good money flow.
Oh, my God. Thank you. No, I like the nature of the beast. It's the little baby steps inside of it that lead to it.
Yeah, just be aware of your patience and always watch out for beasts.
I was wondering if you guys were going to catch on to that word.
Oh, yeah. Know. Nature of the beast is like, no, man, I'm not into monsters. It's like, you got to be kidding. I ain't going there. You can totally look for the nature of the beast, but I'm not going to be there. And you can count on it.
Yeah, the nature of the beast is the procrastination for sure. That's what it is.
Well, no, you put it off until the pressure comes.
Yeah.
No, she puts it off until the challenge comes. And the
right?
challenge is obtained through the pressure, yes.
Well, that's the nature of the beast. And remember, the beast always has teeth. So don't let it jump up and bite you in the big toe.
Okay.
All right. Lisa, thank you.
Can I keep listening to your show, please?
Oh, absolutely. Just go ahead. Yeah. Call her from 917. Thanks for holding on. This is Stephen and Rebecca, and you are and from where?
I am Ellen, and I'm from New York.
Well, gosh, Ellen, you're up late.
Oh, but it's fun listening to you folks, so I don't consider it that late.
Oh, well, thank you so much. So how can we best confuse you?
I know it sounds like you read energetics, so I'm going to ask you a question that probably energetics play a role, and I hope you're not offended by it.
I love to be, by the way, I love to be offended because it's always interesting to me that somebody can do that.
Okay, well, good. Maybe you'll just find it interesting and odd instead.
Okay.
I have a foster cat. Yeah, it's about a cat.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not my cat. I'm fostering him, but frankly, he's been with me now for 10 months, and he doesn't seem to be going anywhere because he has some bad habits which make him not the most adoptable. He's a pretty little thing, but he's not very adoptable. Okay, so I'm trying to work with him and so forth. He bites. This is so strange. He bites.
Mm-hmm.
So energetically, what do you pick up about that cat and me? Am I helping him any? Is he angry at the world? Is there anything I can do for him, or am I fated to keep this foster cat with a bad temperament?
The cat is not a bad temperament from the cat's point of view. The reason it bites is it's looking for something metaphorically, is where I'm coming from, to hold on to, because the cat sees its life as being bounced around constantly, and it has nothing that you could say is of any kind of sense of permanence to it, whatever that means. So therefore, because you care for it and you attempt to take care of it, the idea of the teeth and it biting you is more of a thing of it wants to hold on to you. Rebecca, I don't know, does that make any sense?
Well, yes, part of it does. And it also it's a playful mood on his part, and then he also shows his anger. So it's hard to differentiate the difference between is he playing or is he mad or, you know. But this cat came off the street, am I correct?
Yes, he was picked up wandering around the streets, and this rescue group took him. And I ended up with him as the foster parent.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's he has this pack mode, okay, because he ran with other cats.
You understood what Rebecca just said, pack mode.
Yeah.
Now I understand it, and there are, I'm listening, yes, okay.
Okay.
So he's always going to have a little bit of that pack mode tendency to him. And the only way, but you hold the string, and that's what I get, is you hold the string, which means that you hold the key to open this up, now that you understand that he is in that pack mode, you know, where it's a show of who's the boss, you know, who's the alpha male cat or who's the alpha female cat. Okay, so who's the alpha between you and him? He is.
Oh, he thinks
until,
so?
Until you exercise your alpha, which doesn't mean being mean, it doesn't mean being fierce. It just means you're the boss.
Yeah.
And when the cat gets that, go ahead.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. You go ahead.
No, hon. Go. Rebecca, go.
And he needs a bird to play with.
A bird?
Okay.
Well, you know how you can buy those little birds for cats?
Yeah, no, no.
You mean go out and buy a parakeet and feed it?
Yeah. You know,
no,
I ain't doing that.
I'm not.
No, but I'm talking about, you know, you can buy these little, that's why I'm explaining myself, Stephen, is you can buy these little birds on a string. That's where the string comes in, that they can bat around and play with and jump up, because that takes him back to his natural state.
Oh, good idea.
Mm-hmm.
When he was on the street.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't claim to be an animal intuitive, but I have horses and dogs, I've had cats. I live in the middle of the woods, so I'm very in tune with animals.
And
so,
she does.
Yeah, I do. Stephen's been to my home. And, but that reconnects him to his natural habitat from the street. Because part of that was jumping up trying to catch birds to survive.
I thought that was
a very tough time for him because he wasn't always on the street.
I'm not saying it wasn't a tough time for him. Yes, it was a tough time because there were times when he really curled up in a little ball and didn't think he's going to make it, okay, behind trash bins.
Yep.
So, but this still is a natural feline instinct.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it be on the street or not. Felines are more connected to nature than dogs. Absolutely correct.
Yeah.
So when you do that, you know, you bring him back to that, and then he doesn't have the desire or the feel that he needs to bite you to control. You understand?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
there's,
I think just implementing these small things will make him a very happy, adaptable cat.
No, it doesn't. And I have a suggestion for you. When you approach the cat, put your palm to the cat's nose.
Oh, I do that. I let him sniff me, yeah.
All right, okay. And make sure you do that every time so the cat becomes familiar.
Problem.
Yeah. So as long as you approach it from the nose of the cat will ease up because it'll become familiar with you.
Yeah.
It's just not, even a human, think about something. A human goes through a life of rejection, okay, and then all of a sudden they find someone that totally accepts them. Guess what that person is going to think of in most situations? Aren't they going to think of rejection first?
Yeah, desertion.
All right.
Yeah.
That's exactly what your cat's doing. It hasn't found a place of, if you will, permanent familiarity or permanent comfort, whatever that is. Does that make sense, Rebecca?
Yes, it does. And, I mean, he needs to trust. But he has a slight nearsightedness.
I would buy that.
So take all that into consideration and, you know, do these little things, and I think you're going to have a happy cat.
Okay.
And a happy human.
Yes, and a happier human.
He's elderly.
He's elderly.
So even though he bites me, he doesn't puncture my skin. Because, you know, his teeth are pretty worn down. I think they estimated his age. Well, anyway, it's a long story, but they had a previous record on him. So I think he's like 14.
Well,
no,
see there, you're nearsighted.
Wait, both of you guys. That's not true. I spent time in India as a monk.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a wild Bengal tiger become my friend, and I mean that sincerely. And there were times where it would put its teeth on my arm, and it didn't bite. It was just saying, "Hey, check these things out, man. You mess around, and I can do some chunking here." But it never bit me. But what it would do on occasion is like just go, remember these things? And I became accustomed to it, and it never hurt me. And I mean, very literally, it was a wild Bengal tiger, you know, easily 450 pounds. And this thing, and when it would purr, it was like, whoa. But it never intended to hurt. So when your cat puts its teeth on you, all it's saying is, hey, I can do this. Not that it's going to do it. It's just
Go ahead. No, I hear what you're saying. I've been around animals a lot, and I used to foster dogs where I used to live, and I had more property. And I'm familiar with what you're talking about. I would call it mouthing. And it was a dominance issue.
My German shepherds do that.
Exactly.
They want to lead you around by your hand.
Yes.
Yeah, I had a foster dog who was angry that I was out all day, and she took my arm. And it was a dominance issue, and I reacted immediately by putting her through her paces of sit, down, and doing all those things. And so I knew, like, how to, like, establish authority with her, leadership with her. But when this cat bit me, it was an entirely different thing. There was anger in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't shake him off. I had to push him off the bed. But so it's like he wanted to hurt me. He couldn't. To me, my reading of it was that his teeth, it was beyond just trying to be dominant. He was angry.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, but that's, Rebecca covered that earlier. But
okay.
The cat is. I mean, it's had safety, it's had security, and then it's had nothing. And then it's had safety, it's had security, and then it's had nothing.
Yeah.
And I think it's because of the approach that the cat takes. It's a cat. So the cat doesn't recognize the human psyche or the human mentality or however you want to put that. So my suggestion is just operate with your cat and know that it's going to do things, and then just, you know, love the cat, and it'll eventually quit. It will.
Yeah. So just give it more time, because he's already been with me like 9 months. So just more time.
It incorporates some things that make it a little more comfortable, okay?
Yes. I want to say thank you so much.
You are so welcome. Let us know how he is here in a few months. Hello?
Well, I'm here.
Are you there?
Caller from 863. Where are you calling from? And thanks for holding.
Hi, this is Julia. I'm calling from Florida.
Julia, you survived Matthew.
Yeah, actually, you know, I'm inland from there, so we got quite a bit of rain and some gusts of wind, but fortunately we weren't in the path or anything, so you know, fortunate in that respect. Yeah.
So how can we scramble your mind this evening?
Well, it's already well scrambled, boy.
Awesome.
Maybe
we can unscramble it then.
There we go. I've been, trying to make some changes. I got myself involved in an online workshop to help me kind of pinpoint my passion and figure out, you know, my direction. But I'm still kind of at the same place I was before. I'm still trying to figure out, you know, where I want to live and, you know, employment opportunities and that. I've been doing, like, daily letters. I'm doing, part of this workshop is to, like, write out my goals and writing letters of forgiveness and every day doing a gratitude list and, you know, different exercises to help me kind of focus in. So I'm doing that, and I have been all along, you know, trying to formulate my plan of action and, you know, taking baby steps here and there, you know, getting my resume in order and stuff. But I still, it's like that momentum of moving forward. So it's kind of perplexing that, you know, I feel like I'm, you know, doing internal work, and but I still feel like not any clearer on, like, what direction to go as far as, you know, finding a place to live and
Okay.
Getting the employment in line.
Okay. Here's what I want to know.
Okay.
I know that you're doing this work, which that's always good to do those things.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to set, first off, you have to set your fear aside.
Thank you.
That fear change aside. And then you just have to take a leap of faith, you know, and if you don't get the perfect job the first time, then it comes around the second time. You know, find you a place where you have decided that you want to be and have that house, because I see a house, I don't see an apartment, I see a small house, and have that, but set the fears aside, because fear is the thing that's holding you back from moving on. You're stuck, okay?
Yeah.
You're absolutely stuck. So we need to unstick you, and you can do all the affirmations and the gratitude and the letters and the forgiveness and all that you need to do. It helps with your cleansing and balancing. But the main thing that I see that you need to do is to clear your crown chakra with a little vinegar when you're in the shower and let it run down your back and then rinse it off, and that's going to open that crown chakra more for you to take you and get rid of the fear. You have no, you no longer have anything to be afraid of except yourself and fear itself. Go ahead, Stephen. I'm sorry.
No. forgive me. I just, you know, I mean, we're on the same page. And, you know, intuition works. It's kind of like, come on, Stephen, you got to tell them.
I know, because I interrupt you.
It's Julia, you have let go of your self-worth stuff.
She's let go of it. She doesn't have any.
Right. When Rebecca talks about the fear, it's based in self-worth that you want. In your mind, you want greater things than you think you're capable of. Does that make sense?
Exactly.
That's not true.
Yeah.
That's not true.
My point is that's not true. My suggestion to you would be is sit down and go inside and ask yourself, what in the daylights would I really love to do with myself in this world? And
what
then
would you
look
really
at
like
that,
to do?
Yeah. And here's the funny thing. I think you already know, but I think
you're
afraid of it.
She knows.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. You know, but you don't think you're qualified to do it. Does that make sense?
See, I don't feel like I know. That's why I feel like that's part of the stuckness.
Oh, but
no.
You do.
Yeah, you do. Sorry.
So what interests you? What in everyday life interests you?
You know, that's just it. I don't really do anything. I'm kind of, you know.
Well, that's part of why you're not motivated. You're not stirring the energy up enough. But let me ask you this. Do you enjoy art? Do you enjoy literature? You know, do you enjoy tea parties? What do you enjoy? If you had, if you could do what you wanted to do during the day, you would go out and do what?
I don't know. I would probably do a variety of things. I mean, I like art. I like to see beautiful things. I like to see the outdoors, be by the water.
There you go. Wait a minute. There you go. Write down. I love beautiful things. I love the outdoors. I love art. Write those things down, and it will take you to the perfect place to find those things to... And the perfect job in one of those directions. See what we're saying?
I have something. I have a very huge thing. Lovely lady, you have this thing with rejection, and you're holding yourself back because you're too caught up in what other people are thinking and what is in other people's minds. You are looking to do what everybody else thinks is what you should do as opposed to what you could do. Stop living your life.
She's been programmed to do that for years. I'm sorry, I interrupted you. Go ahead.
No, you're cool, because you're exactly correct. Julia, what we just said, does that make sense?
Oh, yeah, you're absolutely right, both of you.
Okay, so what we're suggesting to you is you are attempting to operate in a program that does not fit you, and you don't know how to get out of that program. So instead of doing all of this stuff with the outer world, do some inner stuff. Mm-hmm. And learn to appreciate Julia, because I'm not so sure that Julia appreciates Julia, because she sees herself. Yeah, she sees herself as a failure and is not going to amount to much. And I'm going to tell you something. As long as you have poverty consciousness, you can't have abundance, because your mind says you can't have it. And no matter what you do, you're going to get, now hear me, you're going to get in your own way. So my suggestion is, next full moon, and I mean this in humor, next full moon, go out in your backyard in the darkness of night, paint your butt purple, and dance under the moonlight naked. Okay, because that's going to be a freeing experience. You aren't doing anything to give yourself a freeing
freedom
experience.
Mm-hmm.
Does it make sense, Rebecca?
It makes perfect sense, because here's what she doesn't realize is you don't realize you're at last free, okay? That cage has been opened. That bird flies out of the cage, okay? You can fly out of that cage.
Yeah, the door's open.
The door's open for you. There's a whole world of possibilities. And whenever you say, I don't know what I'd like to do, you gave me four things within 30 seconds of things that if you were outside that you would want to do. So my suggestion is tomorrow morning, open the door, walk outside, and do at least one of those things, and that
Absolutely.
Will help move you forward. You're sitting in stale, stagnant energy of no respect for
Fear.
Yourself, because no
right.
one else, no one else has given you the respect that you deserve, number one, and
right.
you have been programmed to have doubts and fear.
Fear.
And the
fear.
Cage is open. That's no longer in your realm of reality.
You have nothing to fear. Now, I've got one more question.
Nothing.
I've got
okay,
one more question.
Else?
Yeah, what have you done historically in the sense of career?
Like office work.
Okay.
Administrative support.
All right, and you've been bored through all of it. Right?
Well, somewhat. I mean,
all right. And it's the
there was
boredom.
Some good in it.
Well, there's always good in everything. I mean, no matter
so
what.
So you have qualifications.
Right. But you're limiting yourself to only those qualifications as opposed to adding into it what Rebecca's actually telling you.
Mm-hmm.
And what Rebecca is telling you is if you add those ingredients into what you already know, it's going to lead you to the correct position. And the last thing I'm going to say to you is get out of your fear. You're living completely and totally in the realm of you're afraid of failure, that you're never going to make it. You're never going to amount to much. Drop that. Because as long as you hold that predominantly in your mind, it'll continue.
I
Does
do want to drop that. Yeah, I
well,
absolutely
no,
do want
no,
to drop it.
No, just do it.
Just do
I'll
it. There's no you. Wanting to do it. It's just changing
no,
your
just
mind.
Just do it.
It's just literally
you know,
changing. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Look at it like this. We go on the air, Stephen and I, sometimes together, sometimes apart. I do private channeling. He does private reading. We're busy people. But if we were afraid
sometimes.
To pick up the phone, or if we were afraid to go on the Internet, where would that leave us?
No place.
No place. Mm-hmm. So you have to say, I embrace myself. I'm
yes.
a powerful being. We're all powerful beings. I mean, each and every person on this earth is a powerful being. That and yours just needs to be unleashed.
Actually, what I would say is she needs to own herself. You're not owning yourself.
Mm-mm.
Julia, own yourself. Just own yourself. You are you.
And put
nobody
that power
can replace
out.
You. Yeah. Exactly. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Awesome. Julia, I hope in some way we've given you some insight, and we're going to go to our next caller, so thank you
all
so
right.
much.
Thank you both. Thank you,
yes,
Rebecca. Thank you, Stephen.
Love you.
Take
Bye-bye.
Care. Bye-bye.
Okay, here we go.
Boy, Internet's running really slow tonight, well, Blog Talk is. Caller from 916, are you with us?
Yeah, hello. This is Nancy from California.
Nancy from California. So how can we best confuse you this evening?
Okay, how you can confuse me. I'm already confused here.
Awesome.
We love it.
Yeah, actually, my question is an odd one. Ever since I was a teenager, I've had out-of-body experiences. I've done astral travel. I've had lucid dreams, and my first experience, I did meet up with an angelic figure, and I thought I had died because to me at that time, if you meet an angel, you're dead. You've gone to the
Well, then I've died a million times.
I had no idea what that was about at that time. I was a teenager. But anyway, since then, you know, I've had a lot of good experiences where I actually willed myself to certain areas and got information. My question is, how can I develop these skills more? And I'm actually taking courses in it now. And what is the meaning? Why do I get these experiences?
All right, hang on, Rebecca. First off, I'm going to say to you, drop the courses. They're going to ruin
me
you.
Too. My first.
Oh, okay.
No,
really?
I'm very sincere. Drop the courses because they're going to give you their input and their idea and their views, which is going to take you away from the very idea that of what you have come here to do. What you're experiencing is very real, and you are taking these courses more for logical satisfaction, if you will,
Except
so that you can logically understand it, which is a huge mistake, because nothing that Rebecca and I do, and even what you're doing, is logical.
Mm-hmm.
It just isn't. So when you take these different courses and they present them logically, I've never taken a course in my life.
I haven't either.
I don't think. Yeah, and neither has Rebecca. Well,
no.
Actually, I spent 6 years as a monk. I mean, so I guess you could say in a roundabout way. But no. I mean, no books. It's just stuff happens.
Mm-hmm.
And I just learned to interconnect with it.
Mm-hmm.
Understand something. And that's that, Nancy, a lot of what we get, I'll speak for myself and then I'll let Rebecca jump in there, is metaphorical. It's not literal. When I'm actually doing a session for a person like right now with you, I'm coming from a space that makes no sense to me, because if it makes sense to me, then that means it belongs to me. So what I look for is what makes no sense. And then what I look for is how to bring clarity to what makes no sense. And that just simply takes practice. Rebecca, does that make any sense?
Well, of course, Stephen. No, let me tell you what I have. Can I give my input now?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Girlfriend,
let me
you
tell
go
you,
to the
I
rest of the show,
you.
And I'll just go take lunch.
Oh, well, bring back some for me, please.
Okay, pizza?
That'll work.
Okay.
I am an angelic channeler, and I see angels, okay, and I communicate through the angels. And I do, what you're doing is what's called, you're doing dimensional travel, okay? Mm-hmm. I do dimensional travel. Stephen does dimensional travel.
No, dimensional will work good.
Yeah, whatever. And there's times when I'm asleep and Stephen comes and I call him the next day and say, okay, what do you want? You know, because, oh, I was just checking in last night. I hadn't heard from you for a while. Or I will do that with him. And, you know, I connect with the angels. The first angel that you saw when you were young was Archangel Michael, who was just showing himself to you. I see angels. So it's very common for me. It will become common for you. But the best way for you to get in tune is not to take classes. Oh, gosh, that's so confusing because you're seeing someone else's reality and they're looking at you like whenever you say, I saw this angel and I travel at night. I travel every night when I sleep. Stephen does too. But what they are doing is they are teaching you during these travels at night. All you have to do, you have the information stored, but what you need to do is just kind of meditate and let it all come in. Your way of meditation, not mine, or you know how to meditate, and just accept it. And when you move with it, and you just kind of go with the flow of things. I mean, it's like the way you're doing it could be entirely different from the way I do it or from the way Stephen does it, but we all have our own channels. And your channels are open. All you have to do is say, I accept me as I am, and I am here to serve you. Okay? Bingo, you're done. Keep it simple. When you take classes, and I have done this because when I first started seeing angels, I would talk to someone and I'd say, you know, I see angels. And they would think, she's the biggest nutcase I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah.
Especially where I live, which is in the Bible Belt of the Ozarks of Missouri. So no one sees angels. Except me, I do. And then I channel through my angels. That's why I'm so easy and eager to tell you about my experience, is so it will open this new realm of possibilities for you. And that's what the angels are telling me. You've got it. You don't need to do anything except accept it, because you don't accept it. And just go with the flow of it and let them just come on in. They've been knocking at your door for years.
Oh, yes.
Ever since you were a spud with diapers.
And actually, whenever I was very, very small, I woke up and I would see the angels around my bed. And people would say, you can't see angels. You know, don't. That's bad. That's bad. That's bad. So I blocked mine for a lot of years until I was in a tornado and they shot me out and I stood before God and had this death experience and he sent me back. And so he said, okay, are you ready to listen now? So you don't want to have that experience. You know,
I'd like to share one other thing, and we're getting down to the last few minutes, so I apologize to the people we haven't gotten to yet.
Gosh,
my dad actually wanted to have me exorcised by a Catholic priest because he thought I was absolutely flipping crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Because of what I was seeing, experiencing, and saying.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom, bless her heart, protected me from that experience. But my point is, what you're looking for when you're going through these courses is you're looking for people you can identify with. No.
No.
Your individuality is the most important thing, and we're down to 90 seconds, so I do apologize for all those that are, of you that are still on hold. And, Rebecca, how can people get a hold of you?
You can go to my website, which is www.rebeccaspathways.com, and go in, and it will give you all of the information that you need, including my number where I can be reached.
And you can find me at stephen@harefield.com, which is my email address. My website is Harefield, HAIR, Frank, IELD.com. And if anybody shoots me an email with a question, I can do what we're doing right now live through an email, and I know Rebecca can do the same thing. So if you contact us, you have a question, I know that I'll be more than happy to respond to you. And I love working with people. People are my life. Awakening people to the greater dynamics of being is what both of us are all about. So we'll be here again, and I'd like to thank everybody that called in, attempted to get onto the show, and couldn't. We do appreciate it, and we do the best that we can. Thank you all so much, and may you all have a great evening. And Rebecca, as always, lovely relative from a time past, thanks for being here.
Thank you, my dear. I love
all right.
it. Angel
all right,
hugs.
My friend. Angel hugs. Bye-bye. Back at you.